The thought the Lord put on my heart is the ultimate price. If we had been in the chapel today, we would have wanted to have the a cross put on the board, but it didn't work out for us to be there. But we know that Jesus paid the ultimate price for our salvation. You know, God is love. And it is because of his love that he sent his son to die and to pay the ultimate price for our salvation. It's because of his love that he did this. He didn't have to. He could have just destroyed the world and decided to start all over.
That's right.
But he chose to give the best that he had, his only begotten son, for our salvation. Today we want to look at the sacrifice that he made for our salvation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 20.
1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Do you see how that we are bought with a price? Jesus paid the price that we could be redeemed back to God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they broke that connection with God, that close relationship with God. And the Lord made a plan that we could be brought back into that closeness with him. So we are bought with the price. And it was an ultimate price. It was a serious price. It was the price of our dear Savior's life. John 15, verses 13 and 14.
John 15 and 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you.
You see, he said greater love. There is no limit. You can't do any more. You cannot do any more than to lay down your life for your friend. Jesus laid down his life for us. And he didn't call us servants, even though we are his servants. But he calls us friends because he loved us. John 3, 16 and 17. So he paid this price in love. Sometimes people pay for things. They do it because they have to. But Jesus didn't. Some people might think that they took his life. But not so. He gave his life. It was no way that they could take his life without his will. But he gave it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So you see, all of this is hinged on the great love of God. God's love enough to give his son, and his son's love to give his life. And they didn't take it. They might have thought they did, but he gave it. And so we want to go and start looking at what happened. I was thinking about how that Jesus wants us to take time and to remember him. Let's go to Luke 22:14-15. He wants us to remember his death and what he did for us.
Yes, amen.
And we should keep a fresh memory. Every time I hear this song, How Great Thou Art, my memory is refreshed about how he gave his son. In that one of those verses, it says, and I think of how he gave, let me see, I can't get it quite together, but he gave his life for us. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And yes. So, every opportunity we have, we need to refresh our memory of what God did for us. It's just like if I do something for my children or my grandchildren, I don't want them to forget it. It's not that I'm going to walk around all every day and say, remember I did this and remember I did that. But I want them to willingly think of the sacrifice and the things that I do for them. Well, this is just a human being doing something for the children or grandchildren. But think of God Almighty and how that he sent his son and Jesus so willingly and so graciously gave of his life. Now let's go and read 1 Corinthians 11:23. We didn't read Luke, did we? Luke 22:14.
Luke 22:14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I said to you, I would not any more eat thereof until I be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I said to you, I would not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.
So you see how he said, this do in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember him. And it's important that we take time and meditate and see the great sacrifice he made for our sins. He did so much, and we don't want to forget it. We don't want to just get caught up in this world and not take time for our Savior. So he suffered and he died. And the thing about his suffering, he knew in advance what he would have to go through. It kind of starts, in a sense, with Jesus in Gethsemane, Matthew 26:36-46. When we read that, and when we see how he agonized in the garden, we can realize that he knew what he was facing. Sometimes we get a prognosis. Doctor may say, you have such and such. And we realize that that's terminal and it's probably going to take us out. We've had, experience maybe with others or know that certain things would happen. But the difference in that and Jesus, He knew what he was facing, but he could also know what it felt like. Every step of the way, everything that he was going to face, he knew it because the scriptures must be fulfilled. And he knew how it felt. So when we read this in Matthew 26 and 36 to 46, we recognize that he's agonizing, but he's agonizing and submitting to God's will, knowing exactly what he was getting ready to face.
Okay. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again away, and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then he cometh to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be gone. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray thee.
You see how he agonized in that garden? In one of the scriptures, it says that his sweat ran down its drops of blood. He recognized, he knew what he had to face. He knew he came here for that purpose. But it was so much pain that he was, if it was any way out of it, he wanted to be out of it. But he wanted the will of God to be done. And so he submitted to God's will. And here we want to think of all the different ways that he suffered for us. He suffered emotional pain. He suffered physical pain. He suffered mental pain. All of this that he bore for us, for you and for me. And we want to appreciate this sacrifice that he made, this price that he paid for our salvation. And we need to think its seriousness of salvation and how that is real and is something that we need to take advantage of, because such a great price has been paid that we might have eternal life. Matthew 26. I think I told you 46, right?
Yeah, 46 to 46. I mean, 36 to 46 is what I read.
Okay, read 47 to 54.
And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him.
Look how, yes, and look how he reacted. He could have said, why are you being betraying me? You were one of my disciples. Why? He didn't do that. He called him friend. Friend, wherefore did thou come? Oh, if we could just get a hold to the great depths of love and care that Jesus had for us. See, Judas was a thief. One scripture said he kept the money bag. He went to those the elders and he bargained with them for 30 pieces of silver, asking them what would they give him if he would give Jesus to them, and they did that. Of course, later on, we find out that Judas regretted it, and he tried to give the money back, but they wouldn't take it, and he went out and hung himself. But think about what it must have felt to have one of your own, one that you picked as one of your disciples. He called him friend. Your own friend turned against you. The one that sat there many times, heard you teach and preach, saw you do the miracles, and saw all the good things that you had done, and he turned on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, what agony he must have felt. What emotional pain he must have felt. Also, he also felt pain with Peter. Peter had said that he had told his disciples, he said, you will all forsake me tonight. And Peter said, though all men forsake you, I will not forsake you. I'm willing to die with you. These are the things that Peter said. But in Luke 23:54, we'll see how he did not. He didn't hold up to that.
Luke 23:54. And that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre. Is this what you wanted?
He's talking about Jesus.
Huh?
He's talking about.
Is that what you wanted?
No, I don't. I must have. Hold on just a minute. Let me see. It's 22:54.
Okay. And then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the break of 1 hour, another confidently confirmed, saying, number two, this fellow also was with him, but he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not that what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
and 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine what that felt like? Think of Jesus there, hearing him, denying him. And then he turned and he looked. No doubt his heart was broken. This is Peter. He's the one that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And today he's saying, "I don't know him." What pain he went to for us. Now let's move on now and look at some of the physical pain that he had to go through, the emotional pain and all different kinds of pain he went through. Mental pain with the grueling accusations that he had to deal with. Matthew 26:57 now to 34. I mean to 64.
Okay. Matthew 26:57. And they that had laid hold of Jesus led him away to keep the Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought out witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answers thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" And Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure you by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven."
So you see that in spite of all of the accusation, he did not defend himself. He didn't answer a word. And then when he did tell him that they would see him sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven, the high priest, I didn't have you read that, but the high priest called that blasphemy and thought that that was worthy of death. Let's go to chapter 27. And read 11 through 14. But we see how that in spite of all, he was before the Sanhedrin. He didn't say a word. And also when they took him to Pilate, after the Sanhedrin, they took him to Pilate. And in chapter 27, we're going to see how that he didn't answer a word there either.
27:11, and Jesus stood before the governor.
That's right.
And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him, "To never a word." Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly.
Yes. Now skip down to 21 and read 21 to 23.
The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the plain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not, that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.
And you see, it was, he was just, he was innocent, and yet it's innocent had to suffer for the guilty. And so we want to be very
4-9-8-5-6-6.
Sister Baxter, we hear you.
She went off.
Okay. So we have the innocent suffering for the guilty. Now let's go down to Luke 23 and read 20 to 24.
Luke 23 and 20. Yeah. Pilate therefore went into the least Jesus spake again to them. But he cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil have you done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required.
Yes. So you see all the pain and agony that he went through. And now I want us to look at what the soldiers did to him. That's in Matthew 27, 26 to 31.
Matthew 27 and 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him, and they took the robe off of him and put his own garment on him and led him away to crucify him.
Do you see how he suffered them spitting on him, how he suffered them mocking him? The crown of thorns, if we think about it, if we think about the head and how there's not a lot of flesh on it, you would know that there was excruciating pain. No doubt blood coming out as well. They not only put that crown of thorn on it, but they beat it on him. And he suffered all of this pain for us, for you and for me. It's so, I just hope that we can get a hold and get a visual picture of what it was like for what he went through. And every time we're tempted to maybe not to give up the Lord, we need to look at what he went through for us, that we can hold on to him unto the end. He did it for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might not die and go to hell. That's the whole thing. He conquered through all of this. He conquered sin, hell and the grave. He conquered it through his death and through his resurrection. And so let's go now to Matthew 27 and look at stuff. I mean, we're in 27. Let's go down to 33.
And when they would come unto a place called Golgotha, and he said, this is the place of the skull. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vestures they did cast lots.
Keep going to 43.
And sitting now, they watched him there, and said over his head the accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and then we will believe him." He trusted in God. He let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same at in his teeth.
Okay, that's good. Now, what I want to do is to hold this place and go to Luke 23, 39 to 43, and then we're coming back here. So we're trying to get a picture of what happened. So here, he's on the cross, and they have put the nails in his hand. While you get into Luke 23 and 39, I want to talk a little bit about how the pain he felt. If we would just think of them driving the nails in his hands and in his feet. No doubt the cross was laid down when they did that. But when they got ready to pick the cross up and put it in the place that it was going, the pain was excruciating because of the agony of the weight of his body on those hands and those feet and those nail places. We can see that it was a kind of pain that you could die from. It was just that serious. Now let's go to Luke. We want to see how that they not only they put him between two thieves. It was like he's suffering the death of these malefactors, they call them, people that weren't. They had no good reputation. They'd been doing wrong, and they deserved it. But you had an innocent Savior in between these two wicked men that they crucified him with. And read 23 and 39.
And one of the malefactors were hanging on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Thou dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but we will see the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise."
You see, one of them just hear this man getting ready to die, and he's up there trying to make fun of Jesus. But the other one realized that this is an innocent man. This is an innocent man. We deserve what we are getting. He doesn't deserve it. And then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He was forgiven right there on the cross. Now we're going to go back to Matthew because we want to see what happened after this. 45 or 46?
Matthew 27 and 45?
Yes.
Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried the loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man called us a liar. And straightway one of them.
That's good enough. Listen. He felt the pain of being, I don't want to say rejected, forsaken. He felt the pain of being forsaken. And no doubt, in a sense, the Lord God Almighty had to back off in order to let his son die. Because he was all powerful. And he could have kept his son from dying and going through all of this. So Jesus felt forsaken. He felt alone and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so we see all the different kinds and ways of suffering that Jesus did through his crucifixion. For us. And surely we can look at that and realize there is no thing in this life that we can go through that Jesus didn't go through. And we don't need to feel forsaken. But if we get those feelings, we can realize that our Savior had those same feelings. And yet, he conquered. And you know, we could leave here today feeling very sad. But he doesn't want us to, because he is a risen Savior. He went through all of this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he also said, it is finished. So our salvation was finished. That part of it was completed. But the whole thing was not finished until he was taken to the grave and he was put in the grave. We don't, for the sake of time, we won't read all the scriptures. But Joseph of Arimathea took his body and put in a grave. But it was hewn out of the rock, and it was, never a man had ever been put there. And so they put him in the grave, and they put a stone in front of the grave. And the chief priest requested to have soldiers in front of the stone because they heard that him say that in 3 days he would rise again. So they wanted to prevent that, or to prevent what they thought the disciples would come and take his body. But as we go to chapter 28 of Matthew, we see the completion of our salvation. We see how that Jesus did not stay in that grave. He rose victor. He rose with power. and authority and victory over death.
28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, was the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like a light, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye see Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Therefore, there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and with fear and with great joy, and yet run to bring his disciples word. And they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Okay. That's good enough. So we see that he rose with victory, and today we can have and live a resurrected life because he didn't stay in the grave. The grave had no power over him. He just went there as a sacrifice for our sin. But he rose victory, and today we can rise and we can have victory and we can rejoice, even though we grieve when we see the things that he have to suffer. But we can rejoice in that he is a risen Christ. He is a risen Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen.